Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, and David Janes here with you. I hope everybody's having a wonderful Wednesday, a beautiful day in our fair city. A reminder that our show is just 2 hours today from 3 to 5, because Max Herz, Willie, and I will host the Predator season preview show from 5 to 7. So we'll cram 3 hours of awesomeness into two today. Everything moves up an hour. Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us at 4. Silly Underdog picks at 4:20. We'll get the People's Pick as well, so you can win too. How's everybody doing today?
Oh, man, I'm happy.
Because you're going to Las Vegas?
Nah. Well, I guess yes. But I'm just happy. Why? You just can't be happy?
Of course you can just be happy.
I was riding down the street, man. People driving slow. I didn't care. I was just moseying on along. I was just happy. So that's the word of the day. Some way, somehow, some shape or form, I'm going to interject happy into every segment.
Okay.
I will do that.
Willie, are you also happy?
Yeah, today is Hockey Eve. We're about to be Hockey Eve.
So yesterday was
for the Preds. The opening day was yesterday, so
yes.
I watched a little bit of the action there. We got baseball playoffs on. Beautiful day in Detroit. Tigers, look at those Tigers uniforms.
Okay,
right,
Willie,
there.
This
those
is what
awesome.
I want to ask you quickly, because you don't like the multi-view, do you?
No, I'm not a big fan
of
the
multi-view. So how do you watch all these games? You just go back and forth,
I'm a
Come
flipper.
On, Willie!
I'm a flipper.
No, Willie, because you're missing
at
something.
At times,
when
I'll
you flip.
Put one on my computer if I really want to follow two at a time.
Willie,
to me, two is the most you can do.
Willie still has not cut the cord.
Yes.
He is not a cord cutter.
You are the last person with the cord.
I've not cut the cord.
You got to cut the cord.
Yeah.
You got to
no,
cut the cord.
No, I'm proud of the cord. I like the cord.
Keep
the cord's not coming back, man. People are moving further and further away.
I have
away,
the smart TV capability, but okay. I believe the cord is the way to go.
So you like kind of like the gas.
I don't
want
to have to
electric.
Say, do I get that game or do I have this? Or, no, I get the games.
And then you,
I stay plugged in. I got the games. I got them.
You don't get all the games because if you,
I get all the games.
If you get off that, get on a stream, YouTube, something like that. I watch like 8 games on
you
Sunday.
You cannot watch.
Yes, I do.
Games. You cannot watch 8
Willie,
games at one time.
I have
it's
it
impossible.
On, Willie, I have it on the fourth.
Unless you're a spider, and you have 8 eyes. Or however many eyes a spider has. How many eyes do a spider have?
It's about 8, yeah.
Is it 8? Yeah. Then you can watch 8 games.
Willie,
you cannot watch 8 games
Willie,
at one time. You can watch max 2. Max
Willie,
2.
I'm telling you, I have it on the 4 because the patio is right off of the living room. So I have it on the television here, and I have it on 4. So I can I don't have to switch over. I can see what's going on. See, you got to switch back and forth, and you're missing key moments of the game when you got to switch back and forth. So what are you going to do?
I have my ways. I'll go back and find it. It'll pop up on social media. The highlights.
It'll never have that
used,
moment.
Used to be you had to wait till halftime to get the highlights of any other game. You know,
man. One day we'll get you to cut the cord, Willie.
I like the comfort. Just hey, I know the games are on.
You're a remote
I got
guy.
Them all.
You just like the.
You got that channel?
Remote.
Yeah, I got that channel. Do you? No, I'm unplugged. I don't know how to get it. Oh, it's my game is not on this. I have this and I got it, man. It's not my problem.
Okay.
I got it.
Okay.
I want everybody. This is obviously something that comes up all the time with Predators games. And they have a website now of how you get the games.
Okay.
Because it's so, you know, different people have different ways of watching games. I get that.
See, Adam
but
hates
I think the simplest way is just stay plugged in.
Adam hates this because we sidetrack him from what he really want to say. He hates it when we start just going like two old guys is talking, and he just sits over there. Get through it so I can get to what I need to get to. All right, there you go, Adam.
Statler and Waldorf over here. Which one is which? By the way,
Adam, just one other question. Yeah. How many games can you watch at one time? Like physically, like for real?
To be honest, although I am a cord cutter, I am anti-multi-view.
Wow.
I can't focus on multiple games at once. If I want to capture the true essence of a game. So, like, this is something else. I have access to Red Zone, but I don't watch a lot of Red Zone. And Willie and I have been watching some of the Titans games together. And before the Titans game comes on, he turns on Red Zone. And, like,
you know, you can't do it.
say no to drugs, kids. But I imagine the feeling I get watching Red Zone is what certain drugs would feel like.
It's a rush. It's a lot. The Red Zone's a lot, but it's only one screen. It's only one screen.
It is. It is only one screen. Jeremy in Clarksville says, there is nothing wrong with the cord. Another texter,
wrong with the cord.
Another texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com says, I'm with Willie.
Wow.
So we've got some.
There are a lot of cord people out there. Okay.
Now, for those that still, you know, have different things and maybe you're not plugged in, okay, to get the FanDuel Sports Network, all the options that you have.
Mm-hmm. If Predator sure, game.
Predators game. And
absolutely.
A lot. You can find all the FanDuel teams. Mm-hmm. If you like the Grizzlies, if you like the Hawks, all of that. GetMyHomeTeams.com.
MyHomeTeams.com.
GetMyHomeTeams.com.
Okay. Get
all
my
one
home
word.
Team. Okay.
GetMyHomeTeams.com. Mm-hmm.
We have
a lot of ways to do it.
We have a text from Scotty from Dixon. And Scotty, I'm a little worried about you, bud. He says, I have YouTube TV. Have 8 games on at once.
Yes.
4 in the living room, 4 on the garage TV.
Yes.
Watching 4 in the living room, then go to the garage to get a cold adult beverage for 4 playing there. It's the only way to watch, especially if you have bets rolling. I'm with Derek on this one.
There you go. I knew somebody was in my camp.
Bets rolling and all those games at one time. Now, you talk about drugs or whatever feeling that you have. That's a stimulation. That's a lot of stimulation.
High that
that's what I'm
imagine.
Talking about. Because you never miss a moment.
How many people have garage TVs?
There are some people that
people
in
Chicago.
Have. Yeah. See, there you go.
I remember the first
or
time.
Or patio television.
I remember the first time I went to an establishment that had TVs built over the urinals. And I thought to myself, who needs this? Who needs to watch a game while you're peeing?
Now, fast forward it. Everybody needs to watch.
Yeah.
You don't
want to miss
it.
The moment. Uh-huh. You don't want to miss the moment.
Oh,
you.
My God.
Okay,
right.
The guy that I have to get one more thing off my chest.
Okay.
Sure.
Because I've been dealing with this for a long time.
Are you Statler or Waldorf in this situation?
I'm not sure which one.
We'll figure it out.
One of them's bald, right?
Yes.
I guess I'll be the bald guy.
I'm bald, too.
But in this scenario, you have hair.
I take
one of them's got the fuzzy white mustache.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, there we go.
If I had a piece of paper in front of me, I would be crumbling it up because there goes the rundown.
I actually don't know which one's Statler and which one's Waldorf, but the guy mentioned YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
I get people giving me a hard time for staying plugged in a lot, and then online, a lot of times I'm the guy, or Chris Mason or Hal Gill-Lindsay. We always get the, why aren't the games on what I have? I got this one guy who has YouTube TV, and every year in October, he's, well, I guess I can't watch your games because I have YouTube TV, and it's not on YouTube TV. Dude, you must not want to watch the games that bad because this has been the case for a long time. I don't control YouTube TV. I wish it was on there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have YouTube TV.
Yeah.
And there are other ways you can get it, even if you have YouTube TV. You can get it directly now. I'm sorry, I'm just venting. So to the guy that keeps texting, tweeting me or Xing me, whatever you call it now, just help
calm
me
down.
Out here.
Woosa.
Just give you a little bit of reprieve.
There we go.
Okay? Because you may not want to watch that bad if you're just sitting there going, I'm just going to wait the next 10, 15 years and maybe someday FanDuel will be on YouTube TV.
There we go.
That's FanDuel Sports Network tomorrow. Blue Jackets and Predators. Predators
opening night.
Opener.
Now I got it all off my chest. Tomorrow I'll be in a great mood.
Okay. All right. Let's get down to business because we only have 2 hours.
Let's do it.
Let's get down to business here. So I am not a football expert. I love the game of football. I watch it every week, one game at a time, not 4 games at once, one game at a time usually, but I watch it every week. But I'm not out there grinding the tape, you know, because I wouldn't know what to look for. So I know what I don't know. And when it comes to football analysis, I rely on people who I think know what they're talking about. So when it comes to analyzing the play of Cam Ward, I've been noticing a lot of reputable quarterback analysts just lavishing praise on Cam Ward. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, friend of the program. We had him on a few weeks ago. It was a really good interview. We had him on the day that Brian Callahan relinquished play calling duties, if I'm not mistaken. He tweeted the other day about Cam Ward's performance against the Arizona Cardinals. Cam Ward's tape is incredible. He's better than we thought. If the Titans do right with and around him, he will be a top eight player at quarterback easily. Chase Daniel, another former NFL quarterback, another analyst whose opinion I trust. The Cam Ward tape is really, really good. He's further along than we all thought. Titans just have to make plays for him. Way too many drops. I've never seen a more calm rookie, it should be calmer, a more calm rookie in the pocket before. And again, I am not a football expert, excuse me, by any means. Mm-hmm. But I read those two things and I think to myself, are we watching the same things? And here is what we are going to do today to start the show. So Dan Orlovsky, who I guess was told by the NFL to stop posting the All-22 film to X, he would usually do video breakdowns, but I guess he can't do that anymore. So he sent out a post on X yesterday, I think it was, maybe the day before, with the timestamp of six plays that Cam Ward made in the game against the Cardinals, and basically said, watch these six plays. And these are examples of why I am so high on Cam Ward. I'm paraphrasing what Orlovsky said there. So here is what I had Derek do. I had Derek look at those six plays, and I want Derek to tell me and all of us whether he agrees with Orlovsky's assessment of Cam Ward's performance. Now, I am going to give Derek Mason a gold star because Derek Mason did extra credit. Not only did he look at those six plays, he looked at more of them and sent us film breakdowns on our group text. So you go, Derek Mason. That's a gold star for you. Extra credit.
There we go. I like it.
But we'll talk about the six plays. Mm-hmm. I want to focus on the two or three plays that I think Titans fans will recall off the top of their heads from the game against the Cardinals on Sunday. Before we get there, though, you watched those six plays from Cam Ward that Dan Orlovsky mentioned. You watched more plays from the game on Sunday. Are you in agreement with Dan Orlovsky's assessment, or are you seeing something differently than he is?
I think there's potential there. I think if you're going to err, I think you want to err on the side of he's going to be good. Now, when you're talking top eight player, or was he really saying top eight quarterback, top eight player, he's going to have to do a whole lot to become a top eight player. And, you know, from what I've seen I'm not saying he can't reach that, but if you're talking top eight quarterback, then.
He said top eight player at quarterback.
Oh, at quarterback. That's going to be dependent. He said what, in the next 4 years or in the future? You know, depending, because you're jockeying for position, you know, more or less. And it's not necessarily you that's doing it. It's us that are doing it for you. We set who's the GOAT, who's not. You do your job as far as winning the championships, but we set who's one, who's two, on all this other stuff based on our perception. So if he's saying he's going to be a top eight quarterback at his position, I'm not going to say that cannot be true, but I think he still has some work to be done. I think that's a sort of a high tag to put on a rookie at this point. Now, were they saying that about C.J. Stroud his first year? Yeah. And look what has happened since then. He's regressed some. Not that he's not still a good quarterback. He is. But when you talk top eight quarterback, he's either right there on the cusp or he falls just below now. Jaden Daniels, same thing. His is because of the injury. He's been hurt. But he went from a top two or three quarterback to he's probably five, six, somewhere around there. So things kind of fluctuate. So it's that's kind of, to me, that's a high bar so early in his career. But the things that I have seen, I am going to err on the side of him being damn good than him being just okay. Because he's understanding the game and picking up on the game a lot faster than I think what even Brian Callahan thought. He needs to get faster with his eyes. And we talked about this. He needs to understand that taking a 5-yard check down or a 3-yard check down or a 3-yard route, it's okay, especially on first down. His thought is, I want to get a chunk play, and then I sort of work back down. And a lot of times, he's waiting and waiting and waiting for that to happen instead of just taking the 6 yards, boom, and then we'll come back to that play. He does that more often than not, I believe. But that's something that he can get better at. The more and more he sees defenses, the more and more he gets into his rhythm, I think he'll get better at that. I don't think he's been reckless with the football. Maybe a few times here and there, but I don't think he practices being reckless with the football. We saw that last year with Will Levis. It's almost like he practiced being reckless with the football. And I don't see Cam doing that. So if I'm an error on any side, it's going to be on a side that this kid, yeah, he's going to be a top 8 quarterback.
And Willie, keep this in mind. And we'll get more into the weeds on this in the following couple of segments. But Cam Ward was what? 8 for 21 passing before the fourth quarter against the Cardinals on Sunday. And his completion percentage this season is nearly 7 percentage points lower than the next closest quarterback, which is new Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Flacco. Flacco's at 58.1%. Cam Ward is at 51.8%. And I know completion.
That's like 1970s kind of stuff.
And I know completion percentage is not the end all be all. But again, I know that I am not a football expert, and Dan Orlovsky and Chase Daniel and others see things that I can't when they're watching film. But I feel like there's some sort of disconnect. Do you feel that way too?
No, because I think we understand why it's 51%. A, he doesn't have great receivers. B, they don't protect him very well, although that wasn't the case. They had excellent pass protection on Sunday. But I think if you go a little deeper, there's two things I'm seeing that directly affect it. We talked about it in practice when people give the stats, the completions, and in the drills. And we're like, well, look, if you wanted to set a practice where the completion percentage would be 90 or 100%, you just throw little swing passes every time. But there's a little bit involved in this. They need to script in or scheme in some easier throws mixed in. 3 to 5 is the number I kind of have. I'm bouncing that off you, D-Mace. I like 3 to 5 scheme plays where the first look, you tell him, let's take this easy stuff. 1st and 10, 2nd and 6. Let's take the easy one. But because I think he is programmed in his mind, and we heard this during the evaluation period leading up to the draft, that he likes to be a guy that attacks down the field. And that has played out. He will throw low percentage passes that really don't have much of a chance, especially when you consider who he's throwing to. That I think that's a big reason why it's 51.8. I think the coaches can get that up there if they can pound into his head, take the easy one when it's there. And also, let's, on top of that, to help you do that, let's call some plays that are designed for you to get the ball out quick and take some easy catches. I think that will help the overall game.
615-737-1025, or phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get into the Cam Ward film breakdown coming up next. Again, Dan Orlovsky posted 6 plays that he thinks exemplifies the best of Cam Ward in the game from Arizona. And I had Derek look at those plays, and I want to see if Derek sees the same things. And we will start that coming up next, 615-737-1025. D-Maze Vingan and Donick is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. Titans fans, if you're headed to Las Vegas for the game against the Raiders this weekend, head over to the Overhang Bar inside Circa in Las Vegas and hang out with Derek Mason, Chase McCabe, and Big Joe Dubin. Drink specials are included, plus giveaways that include 2 tickets to the Titans-Raiders game. Go to CircaLasVegas.com for more information. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. All right. It's time to go inside Derek's foam room when it comes to Cam Ward. So before we get there, actually,
yes,
I thought this was an interesting back and forth between Dan Orlovsky and Paul Kuharsky. So Kuharsky quote tweeted Orlovsky's post with the timestamps of the plays that we're going to address. Mm-hmm. And Paul wrote, quote, love getting a look at this. Plays are in the comments. But wish Dan Orlovsky and the analysts who love Ward would break down some of the stuff that looks horrible. Pro Football Reference says the Titans have had 8 drops. That's probably low. Give Ward 12 additional completions on drops, and he's still at 59%. So what's going on? That's what we're looking for from guys like Dan who understand it on a higher level. Orlovsky replied to Paul and said, would tell you not a lot of baked-in easy completions to boost percentage. Not a ton of RPO or easy free completions. Trust me, not perfect, but so much good, which is sort of the point you were just making.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. And I think it's a good point by both Paul. I think that is true. You have people that gawk over the 5 great plays, but that's really not what is going to be ultimately what determines success, right? The flashy plays are one thing. There have been plenty of people. In baseball, there are guys who can hit a 500-foot home run. But at the end of the year, if they're hitting 180 and they're striking out too much and they're not getting on base enough, they're not going to be winning players. So I understand Paul's part of it. It's like, hey, let's see what is going wrong on plays that are unsuccessful as well.
So let's start with a play that I think a lot of Titans fans are going to recall off the top of their heads. One of the 6 plays Orlovsky pointed out. Second quarter, 4:53 left on the clock. 1st and 10 at the Titans 10. Cam Ward throws incomplete to Julius Chestnut. That was one of the plays that Orlovsky pointed out. Chestnut was wide open. Now, again, this is where I show my limited expertise. Is this a Cam Ward issue? Is this a Juliet Chestnut issue when it comes to why did this play not work? Derek, when you watch that play, what do you see?
I think it's both on that particular play. More so because at this level, you get, even though you may not do something regularly, you get paid to do it when they give you an opportunity to do it. They don't want to hear about, oh, well, I haven't done it a lot, coach, so that's what. No, we pay you for things you haven't done yet. So when we ask you to do them, you need to do them. So that's why I say it's both. When I look at the play, really good design to get your back out wide open. They designed that to be wide open, and damn it, it was wide
open. It was wide open.
Yes. So kudos to the OC for drawing up that play, because he drew it up the way he drew it up is the way it opened up. So first that. Secondly, what I would tell Cam is know your personnel. No, and he's still learning his personnel. When I say know your personnel, you got to know who's running the route and who's catching the ball. Because if that's Tajay Spears, if that's one of the tight ends, or they can catch that type of pass. Even though it wasn't the best, they can catch. It wasn't the easiest pass, but they can catch. To them, it's more of a routine catch for them. Over the shoulder, more of a routine catch. When you have a big back slash F back, you got to put it on his body. And the reason he could do it this time, there was nobody in that path of him getting the ball from him to Chestnut. So he could have made it more of a line drive in his chest. And I'm sure that's what coach was telling him, because that the space was wide open, but if you loft it up there, you do give guys an opportunity to converge on it. He put it on Chestnut as if Chestnut was a tight end or Tajay Spears or wide receiver. Again, it wasn't a difficult pass, but I can look on film of how long Chestnut's been here, 3-4 years?
Yeah.
I can probably count on one hand how many of those passes he caught like that. He never does. Now, he can catch the ball coming out the back.
I don't know if I've ever seen him catch a pass.
He can catch a ball out the back.
How many receptions does he have in his career?
I'm not sure, but That's why I say, but that's when I dissect that play, I look at it from the standpoint of it's both are there. I would say it's more, it's they're both at, would be to blame in sense for that. But I am going to say that Chestnut, they pay you to catch balls that you may not routinely catch. So when you get out there, you got to catch those because they may not throw it to you again, and Cam may not throw it to you now. But Cam also has to know my personnel, meaning I got to know that the fullback is running this. And I'm sure not the fullback, but the bigger back, the third back is running this. Because if he's not accustomed to catching passes like that, especially in a game, more times than not, that's a pass he's going to have difficulty catching in a game. He may drop it like Chestnut did this past weekend. So, again, yes, Cam has to know his personnel, but Chestnut, man, Chestnut knows he has to catch that. That's probably a 30-yard game.
That's one, though, that you say to yourself, there's a little bit of both, right? Mm-hmm. Can you make that ball a little bit more catchable mm-hmm. for a guy that doesn't catch it well? That is a basketball adage, too, of like if you're on the fast break and you've got a flyer on one side mm-hmm. and a clod on the other, you got to know you're throwing it to Michael Jordan exactly. and not to, no offense, Will Perdue yeah. or Dave Corzine or any of the, you know, other guys from the mm-hmm. – so – that is just got to be – that's got to be a big play. You might get – in the NFL, you're fortunate when you scheme your way mm-hmm. to a big play. You've got to hit it. So one way or the other, it's the Hal Gill get it done activity.
Yes.
His analytics stat, get it done, right? That's got to be a completion.
Another play.
Five catches in his career, by the way, Chestnut.
Thank you.
Three of them in his first year way back in 2022.
So two catches in the past
So I can
years.
Count on my on one hand.
Yes.
Yes.
You do have five fingers.
Yep, that's right.
I see them.
There was a pitcher. Them. There was a pitcher for the Florida Marlins named Antonio Alfonseca who had six fingers.
Mm.
Okay.
Well, they call him the six finger yeah. splitter.
he was pretty good. So he was using the six fingers.
How about Mordecai Three Finger Brown?
There we go.
Right there. He only had three fingers.
He only had three.
Yeah.
So he couldn't count Julius Chestnut's career receptions on one hand.
He'd
he
have
needed
to use
two.
The other hand. Yeah.
Another play that Orlovsky pointed out that I think Titans fans will recall mm-hmm. from the game against Arizona. It was early in the second quarter, 3rd and 11 from the Titans 37. Cam Ward, a pass incomplete to Elik Iomanner. And Willie, you and I were going back and forth on this during the game. Was it a drop? Was it a pass breakup? Which one? But that was another play that Orlovsky pointed out. Derek, what did you see when you saw that play?
He has to catch it, plain and simple. Elik Iomanner has to catch the ball. Those are those tough catches that I think quarterbacks continue. If you make them, they will continue to come to him. He came to him in that situation. Why? Because he's made big plays in the past, previous games. He's made tough catches. He is their tough catch receiver. That's why Cam loves throwing it to him in tight spaces because he's a bigger body. But to me, he had an opportunity to make a big play. He ran a deep out route, took an inside release. He has to know that in situations like that, he has to come back down to the ball and down to the ball hard. Now, he was converging back to the football, but when he caught the ball, he didn't secure it. Y'all say it was a defensive
As we were watching the replay, uh-huh. we couldn't tell if it was simply Iomanner could not come down with the ball or if the defensive back for the Cardinals ripped it out of his hands.
No, he didn't rip it. I think he was.
They gave him credit for it in the stats.
Yes.
And so he might have.
But a pass breakup?
Yes, as a pass breakup. But what I thought was Iomanner did not catch the ball cleanly. He had an opportunity. If he snares it, mm-hmm. and he will have it tucked by the time that guy gets anywhere
close. Yeah, he has to make sure that, you know, he was prepared for the hit. That's what he was bracing for. Why do you think he jumped? He was prepared for the hit and not necessarily to catch the ball. I've been in those situations before, so I understand it. You in that case, you got to be more about the football and securing the football because you're going to take a big hit no matter what. That was my whole adage. I was told that a long time ago by my brothers. You might as well catch the ball because you're going to get hit anyway. You know, so make it worth it. Catch it. damn it. That's what they used to say. And I've made my living doing that. So I think he was prepared more so for the hit. It was almost like the distraction because the ball hit him right in the hands, and I believe he had strong enough hands and good enough hands to corral that ball. He was thinking more about that guy on the outside of him and the potential hit he was going to take, and he just lost concentration on the ball. To me, that's a drop. His hands too strong. I've seen him make tough catches. That's a catch you got to make.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on Cam Ward's performance against the Cardinals and his overall performance this season. 615-737-1025. We will continue Derek's film analysis of Cam Ward's performance against the Cardinals coming up next. The Blue Raiders will take on Missouri State tonight at 6:30 p.m. Catch all of the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Derek's Tigers just scored to make it 3-1, so he's very excited.
They got
to
keep it up.
Very excited.
They need to win to stay alive.
They
need to win to stay alive.
And one thing I failed to mention at the top of the show, which I probably should have, is that J.C. Latham returned to the practice field today. The injury report is not out, but Latham did practice. He addressed reporters after practice. So that is an encouraging development for the Titans as they prepare to take on Max Crosby in the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend. The offensive line, by the way, coming off of its best performance of the season. Cam Ward had a lot of time to throw in that game compared to the previous four games. I believe he was pressured on 44% of his dropbacks through the first four games. It was under 25% in the game against the Cardinals. So J.C. Latham back on the practice field. We'll see if he is good to go on Sunday against the Raiders. Andrew from Dover on our text line. We're talking about Cam Ward. We're talking about all of the praise that the tape grinders are lavishing on Cam Ward. And Andrew from Dover says, with Ward learning at the pace he is there a veteran wide receiver that you would trade for before the deadline to help him even more? Andrew, I would not make a trade if I were the Tennessee Titans. They are in no position to relinquish assets to bring in anybody. Now, if a veteran wide receiver happens to be walking down the street and they can just pluck him off the street, if Derek Mason just happens to be walking past St. Thomas Sports Park and Mike Borgonzi says, D-Mace!
Sometimes, when I walk to my car, I find $50, $100 bills just sitting there next to my car.
Yes.
It's amazing.
So to answer your question, Andrew.
I love when that happens.
Frankly, under no circumstances do I think the Titans should make any sort of trade unless it's to bring in assets.
Unless
no assets should be going out the door.
Unless Minnesota wants to trade Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
I'd take him.
In La La Land, that would happen.
Yes, yeah, that would only happen. Yes. In La La Land. Derek, there were some plays that Cam Ward made that were not highlighted by Dan Orlovsky that you shared with us that you want to bring up. So what were those plays? What did you see from Cam Ward that you liked or didn't like?
Now, there was a play to Alec Eilmanner. No. It was to DK. It was a play, a deep corner. He had thrown that deep corner to DK two plays prior. And on the first one, that would have almost had to have been a perfect pass because it was really perfect coverage. Cam put the ball only where he thought the receiver couldn't get it. And if the receiver couldn't get it, then nobody was going to get it. So it fell slightly ahead of DK. But that defensive back was, had he thrown it any different, it would have been a really tough catch, but it would have been an interception-worthy type of pass. So they didn't connect on that. And that's what I'm talking about, knowing your receivers. He's going to get to know DK a lot more because DK is starting to play a lot more, which if you look at his numbers, this kid leads the NFL in all-purpose yards. So he's a good player. You need to cultivate that, and I think that's what they're doing. Now with the reverses and the quick screens and stuff like that, having to run the deep routes because they're versifying him. He's that type of guy, and they believe that. So he missed him. He doesn't know him quite yet. So two plays later, they run a sort of the exact same route with Alec Iomanner running the deep corner. Now, what Iomanner has to understand, and people, when y'all watching these, especially a play like this, if it drops in front of them, it's not necessarily the quarterback's fault. Because in certain situations, in a situation like this, DK is running a deep, high corner. So when he's running that high corner, depending on where he is on the field, he has to run that corner either to the front pylon or to the back pylon. The closer you get to the end zone, you run it to the back pylon. The further you are away, you run it to the front pylon. Or on some plays, they kind of it goes back and forth, but it just depends. But that's typically the rule. Well, Iomanner, I mean, DK, if he runs it at the front pylon, that is, I believe, it's a completion. Because Cam is throwing that ball to a space. They're playing single high coverage, and that's what he sees. He sees the safety. He can't quite see the underneath coverage. He has to throw it to a spot. And we are taught as wide receivers, go high, come back low. Well, Iomanner went low and tried to adjust last minute, but he couldn't. It wasn't on Cam Ward. And I don't want to blame DK necessarily because he's a young guy, but he has to understand the more and more they run this route, because they're going to run it with him because he gets open. The more and more he runs this route, he has to understand where he is on the field. Do I run it to the front pylon or do I run this to the back pylon? You can always go from top to bottom. You can't go from bottom to top, meaning I'm adjusting from the bottom and trying to adjust to the top. That's a harder catch. If I aim high and adjust low, that's an easier catch for me. Cam Ward was throwing it high. He should have been high. But again, that's the nuance of routes. That's what Orlovsky wants to explain or should explain to help Paul or anybody else know why things are not quite lining up. If it's not a drop, if it's not the offensive line, then a lot of times it's just me getting to know an individual or me seeing a spot, throwing it to the spot, and the receiver not quite seeing that spot.
The Tigers are rallied from a 3-0 deficit to tie the game.
There we go.
See? In the bottom of the fifth.
They heard me.
Seattle leads 2-1 in the best of 5. There are 4 playoff games today.
This is
a lot of fun. So the Brewers and Cubs will start at the top of the hour, but things are looking good in the Motor City right now for the home team.
There we go.
We had a caller, I think it was on Monday, mm-hmm. talking about how Cam Ward is still learning his receivers, namely his younger receivers, Iomanner, DK, throw Gunnar Helm in there as well. And I don't have these numbers in front of me. You know, Tyler Lockett, him landing on that ball in the end zone that was intercepted then fumbled is, I think, the first time I've heard Tyler Lockett's name mentioned in a game all mm-hmm. season. You know, I don't think I've heard Van Jefferson's name mentioned very much since Cam Ward.
By the way, we need to revisit our Titans questions.
Yes. Maybe not that one, but the other ones.
I think we should revisit that one.
Maybe all the other ones.
It had to do with how the young guys would do compared to Jefferson, Lockett.
Yes.
But this is what I was saying before the season even start. Ideally, what the Titans want here in a perfect world, outside of those guys doing, let's just say, because they know that Ridley, Jefferson, and Lockett, they're not going to. The only person that may be in that next stadium is Ridley. If he continues to play the way he has been playing last game, then, yeah, he will graduate into that stadium. But if not, then he may not. But Lockett and Jefferson, I'm not sure if they're going to be here next season. So, ideally, what they want to happen is Lockett is ultimately pushed out of the way by DK. And you see it happening now. DK is getting more and more plays. I knew once the season started, like, oh, man, he's a starter. So he pushed Jefferson aside already. His job, he did that during preseason.
Yeah, I haven't heard the name Van Jefferson since we spent multiple days talking about Cam Ward's pass in the preseason game that Van Jefferson didn't catch.
Exactly.
And that was weeks ago.
So he beat him out in preseason.
Yes.
They saw him. But they knew eventually DK was going to start to learn the game, and he was going to segue into Tyler Lockett's space. They didn't know when it was going to happen, but that's what they wanted to happen. Well, it has happened a lot earlier even than what I expected. I expected it to happen somewhere around week 7 or 8, you know, when the season's halfway done and they're not really in it. So now they're going to start throwing these young guys in. No. These young guys are being thrown in now, and they are paying dividends. These guys are learning on the job, and they're doing well. If DK doesn't get hurt, he's going to – I see, based upon what he's doing, I see a lot of me in him based on what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that can be multifaceted, the return game, receiver, you want to do a reverse, whatever, he can do it. Guys like that are so valuable to a team because you're getting five guys for the price of one, for one, because he's able to do all these different things. But the more comfortable he gets in his role, the better he's going to become. And he's going to supersede Elik Eilmanner, not from the standpoint of like jumping over Elik as a starter, but his importance to the team. He's already important on the special teams end. There's a reason why, there's two reasons why that unit is good now. It's because Foss is the coach and DK is the returner. He's going to end up being more of a valuable player because of the multiple things he can do than Elik Eilmanner. Elik's going to be important, but DK is going to be that guy that they're going to say, we can just put him anywhere and just let him go.
Would it shock you to learn that Tyler Lockett has been targeted 16 times in 5 games?
Not really. I mean, he gets a couple here and there. It's just nothing really happens when he catches.
Right. Well, he's only caught it 7 times on those 16 targets.
But it's hard for, and this is what I think Lockett is dealing with. You want me to save it for?
No, I just want to make I just want to make sure I complete my thoughts so I don't forget it from earlier. My point is that we've seen more from DK in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Elik Eilmanner since the beginning of the season in the passing game. We've seen Gunnar Helm, I think, more in the passing game recently. By the way, Helm, 11 catches on 13 targets. So he's making the most of his opportunities. My point was, I like that those three are getting more involved in the passing game. I think that should be the Titans' MO in the passing game. Calvin Ridley, of course, needs to be involved as well. But those three, Eilmanner, DK, and Helm,
mm-hmm.
really need to become more involved as the season progresses.
And you see them starting to do it now. Again, you see DK playing more either in place of Lockett or on the field when Lockett's on the field. I think it's hard because, again, I went through it my last year with the Jets. It's hard when you've been a starter basically your whole career and then you are now put in a position where you are the third receiver. You're not getting as many plays. You're not with the flow of the game. You got to mentally keep yourself in the game at all times. And not that he's not working hard or anything else, but it just does something to your psyche. Like, you got to – it's almost like you got to flick another switch. Because now you're not the primary anymore. You're not even a secondary. You're more like the third look. And it's hard for guys who have either been a primary or second option for so long to adapt to that sort of role.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, a 2-hour program today because the Predators preview show starts at 5 featuring Willie Donick, Max Herz, and myself. So we will have Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow coming up next. We'll talk Titans, we'll talk college football, and more with Hutton. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.